Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hello one and all, and welcome to Behind the Glass, your weekly automotive podcast hosted by two rather uninformed enthusiasts.
Nah.
I'm Sam from the YouTube channel Seen Through Glass.
I'm Tony from Gravelwood Car Sales.
And you can watch us each week. We hope you enjoy the episode. Now, this is going to be a little bit confusing for those of you watching or listening, but Tony and I haven't done this, as in sit down in a room together to record an episode, for about a month.
No, it's like two.
Well, 2 months or 2 years.
No. Well, it feels like 2 years. I mean, I haven't seen you physically in the flesh for...
6 weeks, I'd say.
We've easily been here, not been here, easily nearly 2 months.
But yeah.
Yeah, the last time I saw you was in Spain.
I mean, we're,
that was a month ago.
Such international men of mystery.
Yeah.
We just happen to be all over the world. And not recording together, but still somehow releasing episodes.
And now we're back in our bread and butter.
We're back at it.
Yeah.
Well, only for a couple of weeks. And then
we're off again.
Yeah, oh my God. I have got to be honest, Tony. I'm tired.
You look tired.
I feel really tired. Yeah. I would like to just sit down for a second and just not
You're
do very
down
much.
Now.
I am sitting down, actually. And to be fair, I sit down too much. You know what I realized the other day? I climbed out of a car, Range Rover. We're going to get back to it in a second.
Lovely.
Exceptionally comfortable. But as I got out, I was still the shape of a car seat, even though I was standing outside of the car. My body has molded itself to car seats because the last 6 weeks since I last saw you, it's all I've done is sit in cars.
Do you, because this happened to me, and it probably started happening to me when I was about your age. Do you like half moan and groan when you get out of cars now?
Oh my
Do you
God.
Make like noises?
Main channel audience will know that this is something that's been happening for about 5 years. I cannot not get in a car and not go, ugh.
Yes.
You're like, and if you haven't noticed it, go back and watch main channel videos. Every time I get in the car, I go, ugh. Like there's like a noise. And I'm like, that's so bad.
Yeah.
Doesn't happen when I get out. It happens to you when you get out of a car.
Oh, mate, like, and the noises, and older people, my age, late 30s, 40s, will probably
be able... Late 30s, 40s, no, 65.
No, will be able to relate to this. The noise that you make as you get older just gets louder and deeper. It's like a, oh! And it's not, it depending on what car it is, because if it's like a Porsche or Ferrari or Lamborghini or McLaren, it's not so bad getting in because you fall in.
Okay.
But it's when you get out, I mean, it's a... And it's not dignified, mate. You sort of roll out. You know what I mean? When I have to get out the GT3, I have to push on the seal to get myself out the seat.
Otherwise, you end up on the floor.
Yeah, it's just not dignified. I've got all this money, and I can't even get out of the car.
You should hire not even a butler, like a car exiting executive.
Do you know what I need? I've done it.
Go
I've made my millions and millions and millions. I need to create something that can lift me out of the car and transport me to the pavement, like, dignified.
Like a Stennis stairlift.
Yeah.
But because if you're not from the UK, I mean, it's a stairlift. I don't know why. I didn't have to shout out the brand. We're not sponsored by Stennis. There are other car, what's called chairlifts available. But yeah, you see them in old people's homes, right? Actually, it's kind of a genius idea. I remember, I think he was a friend of my parents, or at least my parents knew of him. Mm. He was either disabled or maybe an amputee or something. There was something in the sense where he didn't have the use of his legs, this poor guy. And he was a horse racing enthusiast, I think. Anyway, long story short, he had a Range Rover that had been customized for him so that he was able to not only access and drive it, but it would lift him out of the sunroof so he could watch the racing.
That's amazing.
I mean, you don't see that very often, huh?
No.
There was that Ford GT as well that was owned by a guy who was sadly in a wheelchair, but had somehow, I can't remember if they redesigned it or changed something so that he was able to drive the new age Ford GT.
Well, I sold a car to a man last year, M2 Comp. Same thing, wheelchair user. And as he picked it up, I sort of felt obliged. Like, I said, do you need a hand? Do you need any help? No, no, no. I mean, he was almost offended that I asked him if he needed any help. I cannot believe how quickly he got in the car. I mean, he got in the car quicker than I did, than I could. He just threw himself in, bless him. And he had hand controls. Never.
Like, he had hand controls.
The car had to have hand controls fitted.
Okay.
I mean, legend.
It's been weeks. It's been months. Your hair has grown since I last saw
I need to get it cut, actually, yeah. Because that was the last time I got it cut just before I went away.
Okay. Oh, well, that's how long it's been that you basically got dreadlocks.
Yeah.
Almost.
Even you've got longer hair.
I know.
We both didn't think you could grow that long hair.
We put on hair, don't be rude. So I'm back for a couple of weeks, basically. Uh-huh. This is kind of in between my Monaco trip. So I brought Vicky and our daughter back to the UK, flew back with them. I got a couple of things to do here. I had an awesome gig with Breitling and I went to a great gig with Porsche at the weekend. And I got a few bits of activities. Then I go back down to Monaco, pick up the GT3. I got a big adventure to drive it back on. So yeah, we're here for another couple of weeks doing these regular episodes. We'll try and bank a few more. And there might be some quirky... Well, actually, we know there's going to be some quirky episodes ahead because next week... We are attending our first ever press event as Behind the Glass.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I've never done one.
You've never been to a media launch?
No.
And we're going together to the Maserati UK press day. So this is super exciting. So we're literally, as I say, we've been accredited.
I had to make friends and influence them. You wait till I get there.
We've been accredited as the Behind the Glass podcast. And we're going to go along and we're going to make a sort of dedicated episode of taking Tony on his first press day. And we're going to record it sort of in the cars as we jump in and out of different models and experience them. Because you basically haven't experienced new era Maserati.
I haven't driven the MC20 in any format.
There's going to be the Grecale or the Grecale. Or whatever that car's called.
Is that the McCann rival?
The McCann rival.
I'm actually intrigued about that car because I'll end up selling them.
Super intrigued.
Yeah, yeah.
And I've also always wanted to drive. Is it the Levante Trofeo that got the was it the Ferrari V8 in it? Or at least the detuned Cali T engine.
I think so, yeah.
So I'm excited. So that's going to be a whole quirky episode. And there's some other cool stuff ahead. So yeah, make sure you subscribe and make sure you go and follow us on Instagram.
Wow.
Because Behind the Glass is now on Instagram and on TikTok, by the way. We'll be posting little teaser clips and reminder shots from various episodes. I'm just going to look at it here. It's Behind the Glass _ podcast.
Perfect.
Behind the Glass _ podcast. It hasn't got a blue tick yet. We're working on that. But anyway, dude, what's been going on? What have you been up to in all these weeks and months that I haven't seen you?
Well, all sorts, mate. I've been out in the GT3. I went to Nürburgring in it the other week.
Inspired by my success.
Overly, as in a group of friends of mine go there all the while.
Okay.
And I just went with them. I wanted to take the Porsche and I wanted to experience what it was like there. It's amazing, as we know. I also wanted to go because I'm actually starting to become really attached to that place. Like it's a bit of a bug.
Yeah.
Like when you start to get it, and I'm not saying by any means I know exactly where that track goes, but I am getting there. I've been there four times now, or the fourth time I've been there. And this last time, I had just the best weekend, you know, like I'm slowly getting to know where it goes. I'm stretching the legs of the Porsche now, which is incredible on that track.
You feel confident when you go out? Like you sort of, set off on that start line going, oh yeah, let's have it.
Yeah, yeah, literally I go... Or as fast as I can. The problem is everyone has their different interpretations of flat, of course, but fast enough that the only people that come past me now are the real quick local lads and the taxis. So fast enough, essentially.
And have you, to get fast enough, did you have any scary moments?
I've been fairly lucky because I've got some pals that go there all the while, and they a couple of them come out with me over the weekend, and it really helps when you've got a reference point, because as most of you all know, and you know, there's so many blind crests and blind corners, and you know, you go round a corner and in your normal capacity, you would just lift because you don't know what's over the top. You know, you go over the top and there's a sharp left or a sharp right. But when you've got someone in the car and you remember the corners and it is flat after a couple of times, and then there's little points around the track that, unless you're shown them, you would never ever know they're there, like little boards and little dots and little markers around where you turn in and you brake and get on the power there. And the problem with the Nürburgring as well, it's like, because it's a toll road, basically, it's not, although they say it's a racetrack in inverted commas, it's not, it's a road, mate. It's not really a racetrack. So when you take a corner, you think, oh, I'll plough that in how I would on a normal track. But you're doing it wrong. So on the next corner, you're not set up right for the next corner. And I can think of so many different corners around the track where if it was a normal racetrack in this country, I'd take the corner completely differently as if I would at the Nürburgring because of the bumps and the,
sure,
you know, the just the way of the, because it's a very flowy track. You have to be on the right side of the track to carry the speed into the next corner. Mainly because if you're not and you're going fast, you're going into the wall.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, there's it's just
straight into the wall. No
literally
option.
You're going into a wall. Yeah. So there's no, like, at least on most racetracks, if you get it wrong, there's some runoff and you can half sort it out. And the road's big enough. But at the Nürburgring, like, it is not forgiving.
Well, especially if you've got confidence, you're going so fast or fast
160
enough,
mile, yeah, an hour, yeah, yeah.
That you know, that is a big crash. You know, it's very hard to correct.
I'm writing
things
the when, car yeah. off. Yeah.
It's all over.
Yeah, like yeah. that. Like there's a corners at the start of the track called Hatzenbach, and as you come out there, you've then got the big fast straight, and there's a really fast left, and I'm 160 down that straight now, which is fast. I know there are cars that do it faster, but that's fast enough down there.
And actually, that's a good point, because often our one, I wouldn't say a complaint, but one observation about GT3 and GT3 RS is obviously in a straight line compared to lots of other modern sports and supercars that are now turbocharged or supercharged or whatever.
Yeah,
it can let itself down in a straight line. But at least in my hands, that car does not feel too slow at the ring. Like, were you going 160 going, oh, I wish I was in a 2 RS. I wish I had a bit more push.
Well, the problem is with the turbocharged cars, I'm sure they, you know, the quick lads in the GT2s and SF90s and stuff, I'm sure they're at 175, 180, but they're not turning into that corner as quick as I am. As in, you know, they've got to scrub some more speed off. Unless they're proper pro drivers, then they're fine. But the speed that you carry in the GT3 in particular and these modern Porsches, the new 3 RS, is insane around the corners, turn-in speed. And I briefly said it to you on WhatsApp. I still cannot believe how well that car turns in for a road car. And I, from what I've driven, there's not many cars I haven't driven. I haven't driven a better road car that turns in better than that.
Yeah, yeah. GT3. The 992 GT3.
Yeah. I mean, I haven't driven the new RS yet, and I'm sure, because that'll have the same suspension, but it's just got more aero, so obviously that will turn in better. But for road cars, I mean, they're incredible. Just all the Porsches in general in the way that they ride on track. So I had a mega weekend. I'm going back there. I mean, I am going to write a car off there.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I just hope you don't hurt yourself. I mean, if you write off a car, then at least we can joke about it forever. So just make sure you don't hurt yourself. But yeah, funny you should mention 3RS. I mean, by the way, I haven't recorded an episode in 2 months. Straight back to Porsche loving. Welcome back to Behind the Glass. But GT3 RS, because obviously whilst we were apart, I did that event in Portugal where I saw that 3RS on the road being driven around. It was an amazing event in Porto, supercar gathering. And there was a 992 GT3 RS in the car park. And I thought, this is going to be mega. And I want to follow it on the road just to see what it's going to be like. Because we've said it from day one, that is it even going to be a road car? It's so insane. And it looks like a race car and it's set up like a race car. What would it be like on the road? And so I followed it for quite a while, being driven by two young guys. We put on the lunch stop and I went to find them immediately. I was like, I did notice you were avoiding quite a lot of the bumps in the road. How stiff is it? And they were like, oh yeah, it's pretty stiff. But they said, look, it's you expect it, right? It's an RS. Like, it's what you're kind of signing up for, but it is fairly stiff.
Yeah.
So they were having a good time. They said that really the car is so dialed into the tarmac that it's just begging for corners at one stage, because we had police escorts in Porto, so we were not holding back.
Like Mille Miglia?
Yeah, yeah, literally, similar vibe. I said it really felt like Mille Miglia at some stages. And we were along the riverbanks, and we must have been going, I don't know what, like, not that fast, but like fast enough, because the police at one stage really wanted us to get out of the city.
Was you in your GT3?
No, I was in the 360.
Right, fine.
And there was a fast right-hander. I'm trying to think what was in front of the 3RS. Maybe like an AMG GT or something. I can't remember. Anyway, so off we went. We all launched at the police, like, just get out of here, crack on. And the fast right-hander came off. So I'm like, like down the gears, heavy brakes. 3RS in front of me just went...
Just went round.
Went around the corner.
Yeah.
Dude, it was unbelievable. Yeah, yeah. I was like waiting for him to pop into the river.
Trying.
Oh, yeah, he didn't even notice. Yeah. He was like, there was a corner. So, that will be very interesting. But
we saw loads of them at Germany. That was one of the
reasons. They're all around now, aren't they? They're all
there. AMG Black Series, which I've got a little bit of a love affair with. I will try and have one of them one day. There was a couple of them there as well. So it's just a really, really cool place. I'm going to go and spend a bit more time there.
It is vibe. I think even if you're nervous about taking your car out, you don't have a car that you think could or should go out, firstly, you're kind of wrong, because when you go, you'll see that anything goes. Yeah. But it is just a cool place to be, especially when the weather is good, to go down there on a weekend and just sit out and have a drink or have a burger or something like that and watch the cars and be part of the atmosphere. It's just super, super cool. Like, if you're even passing by, it's worth it. Because also, the country and the roads around and everything are just stunning.
I was just about to say that we could almost put together, I know we've half mentioned this before, but we could almost put together a behind the glass tour.
100%.
Go and do them lovely little roads around there, a little bit of Luxembourg, and then spend a couple of days at the ring and come home. I mean,
watch
for most
space.
People, what a trip. Yeah.
But look, speaking of our experiences and cars that we've driven, etc., obviously, whilst I was down in Monaco, I had this new V8 Range Rover Sport as my daily to waft around
in. I bet you liked that, didn't you?
Well.
You went to school in them.
Well.
Not that age, but.
No, I did go to school in a Range Rover Sport, that's correct. Well, actually, I didn't go to school because I was at boarding school, but I got picked up from school every now and again in a Range Rover Sport. So I drove new Sport for the first time in Spain last year, and we drove the... Actually, I didn't drive the V8. I actually spent all time driving the V8.
Of course you did.
And I drove the...
Not had any of them.
I drove the hybrid. I think the diesel hybrid, I think, is the one that I drove. So I was super excited about having the V8 Range Rover Sport in the south of France.
Is it hybrid?
No, it's the full V8.
Right.
I didn't gel with it.
Why?
So, firstly, the new Range Rover Sport is massive. I totally didn't notice it on the launch event. It's bloody huge. So,
well, what SUV isn't? Big SUV. Joking.
And every new car is bigger and bigger, but old generation Range Rover Sport was a nice size. It was an appropriate size where you could get away with slotting it in supermarket car parks, underground car parking spaces, street parking it, where Vogue has always been ostentatiously large.
The beast.
Hard to do in those situations. Yeah. But Sport was always, that was the whole thing, right? Get the baby one. This car, I mean, even... Like Paul Wallace, who's a parking master and often mocks my parking, even admitted this is an awkward car to park. Because it's got the four-wheel steer, the four-wheel steer is very aggressive.
Yeah.
So when you're manoeuvring it between a very tight space...
You overcook it.
And then it's so big that... Well, yeah, I really struggled with its size. I did check the dimensions, okay. Millimeter-wise, it doesn't sound a lot, but it is obviously bigger than old Sport. But it's just got boxier and bigger to the point where it feels large. It feels like, and I don't personally think old Sport ever felt large.
Right.
This feels large. Then, with just the V8, so no hybrid stuff and big, hunky, heavy V8, it felt a bit cumbersome. Like, of course, on the motorway, you give it full beans. It is fast. But it's dead quiet.
Yeah.
Dead quiet for V8.
Yeah.
At slower speeds, it's just a bit lazy. Very lazy and super thirsty. Like, unbelievably thirsty. It's got like a 90-litre tank. I guess I did expect some of this, but not as bad because... It's not an SV or an SVR. I'm going to come on to the newly unveiled SV in a second. This is their like bog standard V8, right? It's theoretically nothing special.
Yeah, but their old bog standard V8 that no one ever used to buy because they just buy the SVR was exactly the same. And it's the same with the V8 diesel that they no longer make because it was so thirsty compared to the V6 equivalent. Like, what's the point? Well, you might as well have the SVR or the 3 litre one.
So this is exactly what I was trying to get onto because the car itself, aside from the engine, lovely.
Yeah.
Lovely bit of kit. I'd still have the big one.
So it should be 100 odd grand.
100%. But and I would still have the big Range Rover over it for sure.
Me too.
But I don't understand that engine, especially with the fact that Land Rover like Jaguar are about to go all electric. It's a different world, a different era. Okay, market specific. I understand in America. I understand in parts of the Middle East or certain parts of the world, the V8 might be still attractive.
And that's the problem, mate, I think, as well. I think, like, you know, these manufacturers, they make a car for the world now.
But why sell it in the UK? There's plenty of cars that we know.
Why not?
Here, we don't get a manual M3 competition, for example. So why not? That V8, not only, as you say, no one buys it.
No,
so
in general. I mean, the previous model, no one used to buy.
So why is that on offer? And secondly, I just don't think it's anywhere near as good. I actually am going to say it. I think it ruins the car slightly. I genuinely have stepped away going, I don't think I really like the Sport anymore.
So what would you have?
I'd have the big one or I'd have the hybrid.
The
petrol or the diesel hybrid. I don't even know which one I drove. That's what's so ridiculous. Yeah. It was such a great and easy experience in Spain. I don't even remember exactly which engine. All I knew it was this hybrid. I don't know what the actual combustion engine part of it was because the hybrid technology was so good. It just blended and merged into one.
It was probably the 440E or the 400E.
I think it was the 510E.
Yeah.
That's the petrol one, isn't it? I think it was the 510E.
Well, there's a 400E as well. So, and obviously because of... there's a lot of people at the moment buying them sports, the hybrid ones, as using them as company vehicles because the company car tax is decent on hybrid cars at the moment. So
it was the 510 either.
Yeah, was it?
Yeah,
fair. Yeah, I know they do different variations of the E, don't they? Essentially,
yeah,
so
yeah, of
and
course.
Then there's mild hybrids. But like I said before, if I was having the Sport and the Range Rover, not for a company vehicle, but if I was having them, I still have the diesel. Me,
yeah.
So I think that diesel engine. Oh no, it's a BMW engine now, but that's a cracking engine for that car.
I just think. Yeah, I just didn't gel with it because of the engine. Yeah. I think in other shapes. So all I'm saying, if you've got a V8 driver sport coming, get rid of it and quickly reorder a hybrid. But I think if you've got one coming, it's still like the weights on Range Rover Sports are insane at the moment.
Yeah. I mean, on the used market, there's millions of them. Yeah. Not talking about the V8 one, but in general, there are millions of them around. So
for sure.
They're definitely not an overlist car now. There's loads of them. So, but like we've said before, I would definitely, if I had a choice, I'd have the big car.
Yeah.
Whereas in the previous model, I would have had
always
the Sport.
Had the Sport. Yeah, yeah. I think, yeah, we said as much. So I was just left a tad disappointed that, as I say, everything else was lovely. The interior is a super nice place
Did
to
it break?
Be. Did it break?
Yeah.
No.
Infotainment system all
right. Oh no, everything was perfect. I had massage seats. The drive to and from Monaco, glorious.
Yeah, it's perfect, isn't it?
Oh my God, I had radar guided cruise control. The lane assist isn't the best. No. It's a little bit twitchy, but radar guided cruise control, fantastic. Sound system, amazing. So comfortable, like loads of visibility. I had great glass sunroof, beautiful ivory interior, like huge armchairy seats, cubby holes for everything. It was amazing.
Yeah.
It was just on the twisty, narrow South of France roads and the car parks that I was like, this is just a bit.
Yeah, it's not the right car for that, quite, though, is no. it? Which is why they make like Uruses and stuff like that now, because they're for that. They do both essentially. But while we're talking about aided cars, by the way, and assisted braking and lane assist, I'm driving the new RS3.
Oh, nice.
I picked it up last week, so I used it at the weekend. I mean, I genuinely nearly had a crash this morning because of the brake assist. Because I normally turn it all off.
Sure.
But in the Audi, it's a pain in the arse. Every time you stop the car and turn the car on again, you have to go back into the menus and re-turn it all off. And I didn't do it this morning. And I was driving down the motorway. And I saw, long before the traffic was slowing and people started to brake a bit harder. So obviously I saw that and broke harder, the car decided that I hadn't broke hard enough. So as I'm moving lanes, I moved lanes, the car just slammed its brakes on. No. I mean, I genuinely, mate, nearly had a crash. Stupid car.
But it's not the first time we've heard of or thought about safety systems actually being more dangerous than safe.
Well, this is why as well, that these one of the reasons why these manufacturers, we've said this before, that a car can drive on its own. Now, they have the technology to drive on its own. But there still needs to be someone behind the wheel for these reasons. Because there will be a crash.
For sure. Oh, I think there have been, haven't there?
Absolutely. I'm sure there have, yeah.
It's sometimes they can be way too intrusive.
Too sensitive.
Yeah, and as I say, like, I've definitely driven some cars where it's really good. Like, yeah. Like sometimes where it generally aids your experience. But, yeah, and that sounds terrifying.
I that wasn't low speed either, by the way. I was doing 60 mile an hour.
Yeah. But and I saw slams on the brakes.
And then it literally just stamps the brake, goes beep, 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 and stamps the brakes on. Scared the life out of me.
Yeah, that's terrifying.
It's terrifying.
That is terrifying.
Flipping out.
Well, well done for making it here. I thought you were going to talk about lane keep assist, because if you don't turn it off on a small British lane, then you're sort of going around the corner and suddenly goes, oh, you're out of the lane. And it swerves halfway around the corner, which is terrifying.
That's another thing as well. Yeah. It does that as well. So you drive down the road and then the car will just bring you back or bring you back the other way, depending on where you are.
Into the middle of the road into oncoming traffic.
It's dangerous, mate.
Yeah, I agree. For now, I switch it all off. I think it's a bit too intrusive. But back to Range Rover Sport, because obviously what's just been announced, we touched on it a second ago, the new SV. So they've ditched the R moniker. Because SV is kind of like almost like a new sub-brand of itself. We saw it with the big Range Rover SV.
Have you seen the new JLR branding?
The new logo.
Yeah.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah, I mean, it's all right.
I mean, because where are we going to see that is the question.
Who cares?
Well, I do kind of care because they're two of my favourite brands, but I don't know where we're going to see that logo, so I'm less about it. But Range Rover Sport SV, I jotted down some of the figures.
Yeah.
626 horsepower from one of those, as we said, mild hybrids, the sort of hidden hybrids. It's the big...
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
BMW 4.4-litre V8.
MHEV, as they say.
One of the last combustion engine Range Rovers, full stop.
Right.
Because Sport will soon... Well, there's Range Rover EV, I think, comes next year. Then we've got Evoque and Discovery are going EV. Anyway, so one of the last combustion engine Range Rovers. There's going to be a limited launch edition version, which gets carbon ceramics, carbon wheels, and a carbon bonnet, plus other things, which makes it 70 kilos lighter
good
than a standard Range Rover. 2,500 kilos, as we would expect. Mm. And I'm hearing a price tag for the limited car of nearly 200 grand.
Yeah, well, I heard the other day that the normal car is 170.
So a non-launch edition car is 170.
170 with some options on it. 170 grand.
So they're going after Urus and Cayenne Turbo GT and DBX and...
Well, they're certainly not going for... I'll be amazed if they mass produce that car. I've heard another thing. I don't know if these Land Rover dealers know about this, but apparently this invitation only, the new SV.
I thought it was for the launch edition car.
Maybe it's the...
I think the launch edition is a limited run invitation only. Yeah. I can't remember exactly, but I think there's something like that. Where for sure, the first handful of cards at least.
170 grand, mate. That's insane.
And at that point, well, let's wait and see, because they're claiming that it's been heavily engineered. This is a really sort of special. Well, the actual chassis, the body, like there's a lot of work that's gone into it to make it very dynamic and very engaging. So, if it is something that can compete with Euros DBX Turbo GT, then fair play, I guess.
Does that make the current SVR Range Rover unbelievable value for money now?
Potentially,
because I've got a 4-year-old one in stock that's early 70s.
That's insane, isn't it?
It's 100 grand cheaper.
Yeah, at that point it's crazy.
Yeah,
and for potentially a better engine.
Well, it's gonna, they're still pop and bang at that point.
Yeah,
you know, this will be dead.
Yeah, in terms of emotion and sound,
this will sound like a Black Series, like that Merc Black Series.
Oh, yeah, it'll be dead quiet,
flat lane, fat plane crank M5 engine.
Yeah. I have to say though, I think it looked good, the new SV. They did enough tweaks, because it's been a bit controversial, the new sports looks.
Yeah.
Having now spent 3 weeks on it, I kind of really enjoy it. But they've tweaked it enough that I think visually it's exciting. Let's wait and see. I mean, at that price point, I'm like, bloody hell, like, who's going for that? But
well, it's KNGT money.
Yeah.
It's that money. Yeah. So that's probably what they're going after.
It's big money.
Because don't forget now, an Urus is £250,000 now.
Is it?
Yes, mate. With some options on it.
Specced up.
Yeah, with some options.
What's it list price though?
Is it early twos, 212 okay, or something like that? Or maybe late ones, but with nothing on them.
Yeah.
Everyone puts 40, 50 grand on them.
Sure.
So
bloody
hell. The things have changed, haven't they?
I mean, things have incredible. Massively changed. Yeah. It's insane. And I guess positioning of these various cars and things like that. So anyway, I'm intrigued to find out more about Range Rover Sport SV for sure. As I say, they are talking a big game about it. But yeah, that number is just
Did you see that new Golf R limited edition thing that was 66 grand? God. I mean, that is, excuse my language, that is a piss take.
That is a total piss take. What was it called? Was it called the 33 or the 300?
Something edition, 300 edition or something.
What is that all about?
I don't know, mate.
Let's see what was actually on it.
That is them. I mean, they literally just put leather and a few bits and pieces in it. That is them.
65 grand Golf R 333 edition.
Yeah.
It's the most powerful, expensive and exclusive version of the Golf yet. Comes with an raucous Akrapovic exhaust.
Brilliant.
Or Akrapovic. Uses the same turbocharged 2-litre 4-cylinder as the standard Golf R, but power is uprated to 328.
Wow.
An increase over the 319. So 9 horsepower more. Can reach a top speed of 167 miles an hour. 0-60 is 4.6. Gets all the standard equipment on the R, including the special exhaust. And a set of 19-inch Estoril wheels, matched with semi-slick tires.
Brilliant.
I mean, that is insane.
So that is like their Club Sport R thing, basically. It's just them being led.
Who's paying 65 grand for a goal?
Someone will, mate.
Especially when you think about the RS3. I mean, yeah, as you say, someone will, because then it'll become a collector.
Yeah, but an RS3 is not a Golf R, it's a step up. I mean, my RS3 I've got now is a 4-sprung edition, so with everything
on it.
And it's like early 60s.
I mean, bloody hell.
But it's not even a little bit better than that.
No, but I mean,
it's
but that is
step up in a car.
That is a collector car, and that is a manufacturer going, we know we can sell these to the group of Volkswagen enthusiasts. There's a market here of crazy enough people who are sitting at home thinking, oh, that's going to go up in money. It's super limited, super small.
They just don't. I mean, look at that Club Sport in the 7.5 or the Mark 7.
Go on, sorry.
That two-door one with the cage in the back. I mean, initially people were asking 10 over 4 and 15 over, but they're not overs now. You know, so they're not really a collector. I mean, if there's a delivery mile one knocking around with still all the protection on it, I'm sure that's probably good news, but people drove them. So that's the car I'd compare that to, that manual car that they only made a certain amount of them, and you know, it was for the collectors, because that's how that was branded, that car.
Sure.
And they're not that good. I mean, maybe in 30 years' time, if you wrap it up, it might be worth a few quid. But so is a Ford Capri.
Yeah, and it's 60. I mean, it's an insane amount of money. But it's not the first time and not the last time that we're going to see manufacturers just seemingly charge through the roof for cars that don't make a lot of sense.
It's the market, mate. Because what it is, It's them looking at the used market. I've said this before. They look at the used market and they go, flipping hell.
Yeah.
You get a used, there's used Golf R's on the market with pan roofs and leather, and people are asking 50 grand for them. Right, we're going to make a Larry one. We're going to charge 66 for it.
For sure.
And we're going to sell it because there's a used one there at 50.
Oh, yeah.
And that happens right across the board.
There's enough people out there being like, oh, as I say, it's a collectible. It's going to go up. It's going to be great.
Yeah. It's a bit
of hype. It probably won't, but it's hype. Yeah.
It's all hype.
If you Mr. Golf R, you always buy the new one, always buy the latest one, and your dealer calls you up and said, they're making this super rare final. Yeah, bring your money down straight away on you. Yeah, it's lime green.
It's the Zonda all over again.
Well, moving on, because another car that got unveiled in the last few weeks is the new Aston Martin DB12.
Oh, we got to talk about that?
We do. Well, we're not going to talk about it in a lot of detail because I sort of half hinted at it a few weeks ago. I'm off to drive that car soon.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're actually doing the launch in Monaco. So when I go back after my projects here in the UK and pick up the GT3, one of the first things I do is drive the DB12 before I actually leave town.
Right.
So I'm kind of intrigued. I know you're going to be super dismissive of this. And visually, it's not a massive departure for Aston Martin on the face of it. You know, you look at the DB12 and you're like, it's kind of a DB11 with a bigger grille. And I think people felt a tad disappointed by
it. It's a very pretty car, but I always happen to think that they are pretty anyway, because it's partly the reason why people buy them. And actually, as much as I go in on Aston Martin, a used Aston Martin Vantage now, like that V8 car, is unbelievable value now at 90 grand or
sure.
whatever. Compared, when you compare it to a 911, because it's way more money new than the 911, which I don't think it should be. I think they should sit very similar, because it's an Aston Martin and you got the badge, but the 911 is always the better car. But on the used market, when they flip back round, because the 911 holds its money better, they're actually a better prospect, because they're not quite as good as a machine. They've got way more character.
For sure, and personality. And
yeah, of course.
So what do you make of this? And they're saying that the DB12 is going to be 185 grand plus options.
I mean, I'm not surprised, mate. I mean...
But you think that's too much? No, I'm deadly serious, because that's going up against Roma, Bentley Continental GT.
Yeah.
Okay, Turbo S, you could say, but those two cars are more expensive than that.
Even Turbo S list is more than that now.
Sure.
Yeah.
But so surely that's a good thing, because knowing Aston in the past, they could have priced that car at 230 grand plus options. That would have almost been not surprising, because historically, they've always gone more expensive than previous models. So actually, they seem bang in line with their competitors, which you were just saying with the old Vantages makes a bit more sense, because it will depreciate quicker. So fine, we know with Aston there is bad at Porsche with options, so that's going to be a 205 grand car by the time you've done anything with it. But then drive that 3,000 miles, it's suddenly going to be a 165 grand car. Look, I think that pricing kind of makes sense.
I cannot sit here in my council estate state where I come from and say that 180 grand for a car is good value.
No.
I can't
I don't
sit
mean
here and
good
say,
value.
I'm so sorry about
Well, you've said worse, for sure. But I mean, in respect to its competitors and this car, of course, yeah. It's not good value. It's not a cheap supercar, but...
It's not a supercar, isn't it? A GT, isn't it?
A GT car, Super GT, they call it. What do they call it? Not Super GT, they call it Ultimate GT or something like that. Right. Anyway. But I was relatively pleased when I saw that price point, because I was expecting it to be over 200 grand,
right,
knowing how Aston Martin have traditionally priced cars.
Well, not just that, mate, knowing on what cars have done over the last few years.
Yeah, I just
in general.
I suspect, I mean, it's a ton, it's all the money in the world, but if you're trying to buy one of these Super GTs, say Roma, Bentley Continental GT, this is the kind of money that you're going to be asked to spend.
Where Aston Martin always really let themselves down, obviously, is not the looks and the noise. It was the build quality, because it's not very good. Reliability, well, they've sorted that out now because it's got a Merc engine in it. And interior quality. I mean, or the materials they use inside the car were all nice and smelt of leather and loads of cows in there, fair enough. But the infotainment systems have always not been good enough, and I know they've updated it in that car.
So this is their whole focus, basically, is that they've basically said... Historically, Aston Martin's always been beautiful looking cars from the outside. Our whole focus here was to to bring that to the inside, to work really hard, to scrap the old Mercedes infotainment system. I think that was one of Stroll's first things of how can we have a brand new car with a four-year-old infotainment system.
I'd agree with it. 4, 10.
Yeah, sorry? Yeah, 10 years old. Yeah.
Weren't 4 year old.
Design their own new system. That could be interesting. But an entirely new sort of configuration and layout for the interior, new design, new feel, new vibe, a step on from the entire rest of the range. So that really excites me.
But is it their entertainment system, or have they bring like Bosch in or someone like that?
They're claiming it's their own.
Right, okay.
Whether they've bought it from someone else, I do not know. But they're claiming it's their own. And you look at like something, so obviously we've lost the V12 from the DB11, but they're saying that's saving them 100 kilos at the front, just in terms of now we're in the V8, the Merc.
So no
V8.
V12 anymore?
Well, I think it's coming.
In
a DBS, or just in a limited run or something like that. You know, the standard car has got the Merc V8.
Yeah.
But I mean, at 670 odd horsepower. But yeah, I think they're saving the space or saving room to do a special edition V12 at some point.
I mean, that is an incredible engine, that Merc V8.
Well, it's like the BMW one that we talk about so often. Those two, the Merc V8 and the BMW Straight Six.
Yeah.
Just great, basically crate engines.
They're unbelievable the way that you can tune them cars, because that engine is on the market at 470 horsepower or 671. Unbelievable.
Ridiculous,
or
isn't
more.
It? Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm really intrigued and excited because I love Aston Martin. I always liked the DB11. I always thought the DB11 was a great car. Yeah. And they're saying that this is...
It was too soft for me, that DB11. A very wafty and lazy.
Yeah, but like a Bentley Continental, though.
I think the Bentley's way nicer to drive than the
DB11.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right.
It's way more solid on the road.
Yeah, maybe because it weighs not 500 kilos more. But yeah, maybe you're right. Yeah, for sure. But
and it's a nicer place. It was a nicer place to be in the Bentley as well, by the way.
The Bentley's always been one of the best places to be, but I've just still really enjoyed Aston Martin DB models. This is a huge thing for them to bring out a new DB model. And I think there was a stat saying that this is a 70% new car, where the McLaren 750S, for example, is a 30% new car. So whilst there are visual traits, especially the back end looks identical to the DB11, actually the underpinnings and a lot of this car is brand new. So yeah, I'm going to be driving it in a few weeks. I can't remember when the embargo is, but it's at some point. So there will be content coming and I actually can't wait. I think I'm going to have to share a car with somebody on that trip. So poor person's going to see me having sort of, you know, imposter syndrome all day.
You should have bragged me, mate. You could have shared a car with me.
I'm not allowed to. I asked for a plus one. I wasn't allowed to.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So we'll see who that's going to be. Anyway, moving on. One final new car that I want to talk about. There have been lots of new cars that have launched, but one more that really piqued my interest is the new BMW i5. So this is the 5 Series as we know it moving forward.
Yeah.
Heavy push on electric, two different electric motors, one rear-wheel drive, one all-wheel drive. Sort of the engine level, I think, is like around 330-odd horsepower, and the top full whack is 600 horsepower. Mm. They're claiming a range of about 320 to 360 miles, depending on which battery pack you've got.
That means 250.
No, so this is the thing, right? This is why I'm going to pull you up on this. So I think they claim their range. They give a window, so I think it's like 280 to 320 or 290 to 360, or whatever. But based on the iX, BMW iX and Mercedes EQS are the only two electric cars that I've got in to drive, and they have said the range as I've left, and it has been exactly that range,
right,
if not increased.
Until you get to the
only
winter.
Two, iX and EQS.
Until you get to the winter.
Until you get to the winter. Yeah, okay, fine, but I didn't drive them in the winter. I'm saying in the summer, because also they're two cars that if you drive... I drove them both hard-ish.
Yeah.
You know, actually, to be fair, I drove the EQS on in November, didn't I think?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think it wasn't warm when I was raining and cold, so it wasn't freezing winter. But what I'm saying is almost all other electric cars are 100 miles less than their predicted range. Those two have been rock solid. So I'm hoping and thinking that at least 300 miles is going to be very achievable in the i5. They've got a combustion engine. There's the 520i.
So it's not a really big push on electric because they're still making the combustion versions.
Well, because they're leading with the two electrics. They're launching with two electrics and then the 520i, which is just like the...
But they've got to lead with the electrics, though, because that's what the governments are saying. So they got to advertise the electric first. Don't mean they're going to sell them first.
No, but they haven't even announced the hybrid yet, which we're expecting one of the hybrids to be the M5.
Yeah.
They're doing two hybrids. So I would assume that we're going to get...
A mild hybrid, though, won't it? don't you think?
I would assume so, yeah. I reckon we'll get a 560i or something like that.
Yeah.
Like an M560i mild hybrid and then an M5 mild hybrid.
That'd be a good car.
Which will be mega. I think the car looks ace. And yeah. For me, that's a super exciting car because also they're saying we're going to get an i5 Touring. Obviously, 5 Series, we've got a Touring.
Do you that?
I mean, I'd be right at that.
You'd be a lot of money.
M60 one. Oh, that's the problem. That's what we always come back to.
Oh,
mate, I think it's 100 grand, not even like the entry level one.
Really?
Let's check the pricing now. The pricing is insane.
It's too much. I do like the new BMW interiors. They've stepped it up again, you know, with that new big screen that they've got in all their new cars. Oh, my new M2 will be here any minute now.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah, it should be here this month. That's got that new big screen in it.
Yeah, everyone slags off BMW. They're going a horrible direction. I love the way this looks, and I'm a big BMW fan. People might pay to do it. So here we go. The 520i starts at 50 grand.
Yeah.
So that's the petrol one.
Yeah, that'd be the one to
buy. The electric cars. Where's the pricing? Hello. Here we go. The iDrive... E-Drive 40 is 73.
25 grand more.
And the M60 is 96 and
a half. It's too much money, mate. It's a problem.
So it's,
is the problem.
The electric car, the top of the range electric car is double the price of the 520i.
That's the problem, mate.
You're going to get the hybrid car's going to come out. It's going to be 120 grand.
Yeah.
And then the M5 will be 160 grand.
No, it can't be 160.
How much is an E63 these days?
Not 160.
No, no, but I am making it up, but I'm going for it.
It's about 100 and probably 110. They are an E63. They're going to be 160.
120 grand for an E63S.
Oh, well, that's not 160.
No, no, but I'm going large. Why not?
Go big or go home.
Because it might be a limited run car, you don't know.
Yeah.
We have no idea.
No, it won't be.
And also, what's the XM? That's 150 grand, isn't it?
And a bit more.
Yeah, I mean, there you go.
Here we go.
Point proven.
This is what he does. He pulls in funny faces and them noises when he knows I've done it.
No. If there's an... Okay, so hold on a sec. Be serious for 2 seconds.
All right, try.
If an XM is priced at 150 grand plus, why is it impossible to think that an M5 could be similar money?
Because it's a whole new car, that XM, and they can price it at whatever they like. It doesn't mean they're going to sell it.
Isn't an X5M also circa 150 grand?
No. X5M?
I'm
no
sure
chance.
We were
looking SVR at money, probably 120 probably, yeah. Don't mean they're selling at 120 though, by the way.
Okay, starts at 127.
Yeah.
So plus, that's going to be a 135, 140 grand car.
I don't think there's many options you can put on an XM, but yeah.
But maybe if an X5M is 127 grand, surely an M5 is going to be similar money.
I think you'll get big discount on an XM.
Just on list price. On list price.
Yeah.
Like,
I think there's discounts on that.
Okay, so 175 was punchy. Or what did I say, 170?
Yeah, that's what you say, you just come out
But 140, like... Don't forget, the top of the range electric is 100 grand, 97 grand.
That's a piss take.
We've still got a petrol engine car to come through at some point, you know, this hybrid petrol whatever, which isn't going to be the M product. I don't know, let's wait and see, but I think 130 grand plus for an M5 is not impossible to imagine. The world has gone insane. Car prices are through the roof, and the M5 is a flagship product for BMW.
Yeah, so it's too much, mate.
What about the new C63? Did you see that?
Yeah, is it
97 grand for the standard car? Yeah, plus.
Yeah, but that's how much an M3 Touring is 100 grand now with all the options
on it.
But
the list is at 84 or something.
Yeah.
Starting price is 84. Merck is 15 grand more before any options. And Merck aren't all that cheap on the options.
I would probably say as a standard car, the Merck probably comes with a few more options than the BMW. And don't forget... It's probably more expensive to make because that's a heavily hybrid assisted car, whereas the BMW is still an engine. You know what I mean? So that's probably why they've got to ask a bit more for it. And I mean, that is an impressive bit of kit, that new C63. Who knows what it's going to be like to drive? But 670 horsepower from a 2-litre engine with hybrid. I mean, that is insane.
That's F1 tech funneling its way
down
to the road.
It's unbelievable.
Isn't it?
Yeah,
that's the hybrid powertrain starting to come through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's see. But I say, I really like the way that i5 looks. And if the i5 Touring, I mean, but you hit the nail on the head. It's pricing. At that Porsche event I was at the weekend, I saw like all the Taycans in every spec you would want. And I loved about 17 of them. I was like, beautiful.
Not interested.
Amazing. the cheapest one I could find was 85 grand.
Yeah.
And the problem is I know that, well, you're not going to be able to lease that used car on the forecourt, so I'm going to have to be buying it and financing it, at which point you're going to get the most awful rates. They're going to depreciate like a mother chucker. Mm. So it's still my big barrier, because I've been talking about it all year that I am sort of tempted to dive in and get a little electric car at the moment, just to kind of live with it and see, not as my main car, but it's something to run around town in and stuff like that.
Yeah, but a little electric car. You don't need a big electric car.
No, but every time I think about it, that, you know, you start at 50 grand.
Yeah, that's your problem. You look at the prices and you think, well, what electric car can I buy? Oh, right, they're 50 grand. And then your mind starts to wander and you think, whoa, I can have any petrol car I want for 50 grand.
But that's where I got to.
Yeah, I know, yeah.
Because also, at the moment in electric, hot hatches are still to come. Mm. There's obviously that Abarth, but firstly, that's 35 grand.
And you've already bought one of them.
Everyone tells me it's crap.
Well, it will be, yeah. But when you look at your social media, you've already called out all the Abarth dealers. I mean, you've probably already bought one, haven't you?
No. I was interested because I wanted to know when they're actually turning up.
Did anyone come back to you?
Yeah, I had about 3 or 4 people. Because
300 or 400.
We've
all got one, Sam.
Actually, no.
Really?
The majority of the replies were, it's a load of crap, don't go near it.
Yeah.
That was literally like the majority of the replies were like, do not get that car.
From Fiat dealers or Bath dealers.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
But yeah, so the hot hatch thing isn't really there yet. Mini electric, like, because also once you start going small, your range is 150 odd miles. Mm. Like, that's tight. Then you look up to like the super fancy stuff, the Taycans, the e-trons, the EQSs, that's all over 100 grand.
But they're still 200 odd miles though.
And they're 200 odd miles. Yeah. So then the real juicy point, the 350 mile range and circa 60 or 70 grand are your Mustang Mach-E's, your Hyundai Ioniq, your Teslas, and none of that appeals to me.
No,
so I mean, just from a visual, like, whilst it will be good, I don't want to, I want to buy a fun, quirky electric car that speaks to me. There's still a bit of like, we're waiting for that Alpine. We're waiting for the Lotus Electra.
Yeah.
I'm excited for that.
I'm not waiting for that.
But do you know what I mean? Like, it's interesting that at the moment we've got these very practical, usable, functional EVs, and they've steered away from the kind of desirable stuff, I think, for now. Like, where's that Renault 5 coming? Where's that?
I know. I mean, they've been talking about that for years.
For ages. Where is it?
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
So, like, you know, I want the quirky stuff to come back. I like that Ioniq 6, but I don't know how practical it is. Like,
day, yeah.
So, that's what I'm waiting for. And I think we need more of it now.
Or Tesla. You can have a Tesla.
No, but like, death, dirt, no.
Oh.
Boring as hell.
Oh.
Tesla don't speak to me at all. Like, what? Taycan is still an e-tron GT, maybe. And then the Renault 5. Because the Ioniq 5 is too big and chunky.
I would, as I've always said, if I had to go out and buy an electric car tomorrow, this is my circumstances, by the way, wouldn't suit everyone, I would go out and buy the Taycan.
Yeah.
But it's no good for me.
No,
and it's no good for most people.
But as I said, like, it, yeah.
That's
yeah.
the problem. There's more money.
There needs to be more attractive. Like, I wouldn't mind paying 35 grand for the Abarth if it did 250 miles. It was a bit like, but it's not, I'm paying more for less, if you know what I mean.
Of course, but that's the whole problem with the electric market, new and used. You pay a lot more money for less. And inconvenience. How many times have we said that?
I still want a Taycan though. I do want one.
Yeah, but you
Cross Turismo or Sport Turismo, but
you should want one. It's the mega car.
There's what's 1,500 quid a month, isn't it? Easily.
Yeah, yeah, of course. It's too much money, mate.
Too much money.
Way too much money. We get £1,500 a month. GT4.
Well, if you'd like to sponsor us and pay us £1,500, we'll run a Taycan. It's a Behind the Glass podcast exclusive. Well, anyway, look, that is a good place to leave it off, because I'm sure we could go on.
Well, my 296 is coming.
Oh, is it?
But it's on the lorry.
No.
Yeah, yeah, it's coming. It's like imminent, mate. It's on the lorry transport.
I'm so excited for you. I know you think you're not going to like that car, but I guarantee you it is such a good car. And I speak to everyone about it. Everyone I speak to.
I spoke to someone this morning and they said it's a mega car as well. Yeah. Literally, like,
yeah.
Someone said to me this morning, he said, I drove it back from Goodwood the other day. And it is a fantastic car.
I have not spoken to one person yet who doesn't say that the 296 is not their current favourite car.
Yeah.
It's bloody amazing.
Yeah.
But I know you're already determined to not like it.
No, I just don't really have a great need. I'm going to go and do a trip in it.
Sure.
But I just don't have a great need for it. But I'm going to give it a chance. But I probably won't have it that long.
Classic you. Well, anyway, if you want to keep abreast of everything that's going on and maybe even Tony's 296 delivery, you can now follow us, as I say, on Instagram, behindtheglass_podcast. We're also on TikTok. I think it's a bit more traditional there, behindtheglasspodcast.
TikTok?
Yeah, TikTok, mate.
What is TikTok?
We're going to be doing dances next week.
Are we?
And subscribe now because, yes, as I say, we've got the Maserati special press day coming up and a few more episodes as the year continues and the travel continues. So subscribe now, turn on notifications. You can follow Tony at Tony Gravel Car Sales on most social media platforms. I'm at Seeing Through Glass and we'll be back with you next week. Bye-bye.
See ya.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.